Welcome to From My Kitchen Table. For those of you who don't know me, I am Joe Packham, and I am so thankful that you are joining me today. This is a brand new podcast for us, and we will be coming to you every week, and the podcast will be all about and for you. The purpose of our episodes are to introduce you to new women that you may not know, to bring back old friends that you haven't seen for a while, to teach you something, to help you where you need help. We're here for whatever you want us to be here for. So I am going to introduce to you my guest this week. She is someone who I have been friends with for a long time, who I respect more than almost anyone I know, who is unbelievably talented, and who is very valuable friend and part of this community. I hope you all have the opportunity to meet her in person someday. She has been in the advertising design industry for 20 years, running her own firm, Out of Bounds Creative. Life is more fulfilling when we can be our real selves and create meaningful relationships. Her work has always been to help brands build genuine connections with their consumers via design, imagery, and messaging. The result is consistently worthwhile consumer experiences. Her love of art and design began at an early age. Her mother was an art teacher, and she used to sit in her classroom after school to do the art assignments that the much older kids had done all day. She excelled in her art classes, which eventually led to her career, and she loves that her mother passed on her art talent to her, and she in turn has passed the art gene on to both of her daughters. She is the proud mom of three amazing people and three very smart dogs. Both are often the subjects of her photos and art pieces. Born and raised in Ogden, Utah, she takes full advantage of living in such an adventurous location. She is an avid skier, fly fisherwoman, hiker, and overall outdoor enthusiast. She's a wannabe chef, book and theater critic, and a party planner. And I would like to introduce you to my good friend and very talented artist, Jody Schmidt. Welcome, Jody.
Hey, thank you. It's really good to be here and to hear you say such nice things about me.
I have really, really a lot of really nice things to say about you. So I could go on for a long time.
Well, that's nice. Don't keep them a secret.
I won't. It's nice to have a good friend who you can make a few mistakes and she will help you look better and pull you up. So it's an honor to have Jody here. So Jody, let's start. For Women Create, Jody lays out the magazine articles. She had her own issue. And her team, she and her team, did the layout on the magazine. So you know her work and you love her. So Jody, let's have you tell everybody about that for just a minute, because I don't believe that most of our audience actually understands the behind the scenes of magazine layout.
So the first thing we get at Where Women Create is amazing photos. I mean, these women who are producing these super creative works of art also provide us with some amazing photography, and we've got great photographers that's why we did a whole section on the website about them, because the photography is really amazing and it makes my job a lot easier to work with to designing the articles. So the first thing we do most of the time is I learn about the artist a little bit. I want to know her vibe and what type of work she does. And if she has her own website, you know, what does her website look like? Because that's usually gives you a little insight to their personality and things like that. I want the article to not only reflect her art, but also herself. We select photos, we start deciding how we want the article to flow. And, you know, in all art, whether you're talking a canvas or a magazine or a newsletter or a website, there is a hierarchy of the placement. The placement of images, shapes, colors, fonts, all of that, you know, whatever it is you're working with, the art has to have some sort of hierarchy. When you're designing, you need to keep the viewer's eye in mind of how the design is going to flow. What's going to be the first thing they see or the first thing they read? And what's going to be the second thing? And how do you want it to actually flow? Because you want to kind of control that a little bit, especially in the advertising side of things. You want people to truly understand the message that you're putting out there. And if they're not reading it right off the bat, then that really impacts the effectiveness of what you're doing. When we read, it's top to bottom, left to right. But in art and design, you know, you can pull focus anywhere you want. You know, you can make the images larger, you can make the colors brighter, you can use bold fonts, anything you want to do to draw attention. So whatever is most important, if the viewer walked away and they recalled the one thing that they saw, as an artist, you want to know what that would be. You know, you want to control that. So the other thing too is that we want everything to tie together. So, you know, there are 8 zillion fonts out there. And that's probably one of the hardest parts of designing Where Women Create, is because we want a font that doesn't overshadow the artwork and the photography of the artist. But we also want something that's beautiful to look at. Joe's magazines are not just magazines. They are works of art, and they're coffee table books. You keep them around for years. You know, I don't know about anybody else, but I go back to back issues because I recall some piece of art or some woman that I saw, and I'll start searching. And I'm sure a lot of people do that. However we are designing, we don't want to overshadow the actual artist and the work that they're producing. So that's kind of how we go about the initial part of the design. Then there's other things like how long the copy is and things like that.
In our magazines, there is no style, because every single artist who is featured has her own style. So it's Jody's responsibility to make sure that she is true and authentic to the artist's style that she's laying out her feature. And you have to understand what genius that takes, because Jody has her own style as well. She has things that she really likes to do, things she likes to use, ways she likes to lay things out. So for her to be flexible enough and be so concerned about the artist herself, she's very, very careful to make sure that the feature, each feature, is truly one that the artist would have designed herself if she knew how. Yeah. So thank you, Jody, for doing that for all of our readers.
It's important that whatever I design doesn't overshadow what they've done, but also that it is still beautiful to look at, still ties in with what they're creating and producing, you know. So that, I mean, that is why I go on their website or their Instagram, just to kind of see their vibe and feel.
Doing layout in magazines, you're probably thinking, well, I will never do that, so I don't really need to know that. But I want you to understand what the designers go through, so that regardless of whose magazine you're reading, you will appreciate what's been created for you, so that you enjoy the article. But what a lot of you do is that you create your own newsletters. With the new email platforms, it's much easier than it used to be, but there are still some secrets and some hints that you should know when you're trying to create your own newsletters, because several of you do it now, but I believe that as we progress and become more adept at using the web for the things that we need to have it do for us, like sell our product, get our name out there, help us to become a little more of a household word, that there are secrets and hints that you should know. And Jody has some of those, because she produces our newsletters and they are stunning. I get many, many emails about how much you love Jody's newsletters. So I'm going to let her tell you, like I've said for 3 times, the secrets and the hints in a newsletter to help you create a better newsletter.
The one thing that probably everybody does too is their Instagram. And this kind of ties in with the newsletter design too. And your website, and, you know, anything that you're putting out to the public that showcases your work. As an artist or a writer or photographer, you know, you will focus in on your style and the things that you want to produce. And that style is not just limited to your art. It needs to transfer over to your Instagram, to your newsletters, to whatever it is, your business cards, whatever it is you're doing. You need to make sure that the style that you're using for, you know, your actual art and what you're producing carries over to how you advertise yourself to the public. So that means on your Instagram, it's not about just taking photos of what you're doing. It's about making those photos consistent. So if they looked at your whole Instagram page, they could tell that all the elements are related. Some people do it differently. You know, some people use all the same background, things like that. I don't think you need to necessarily limit yourself to that, but make sure that when you're doing your newsletters and your Instagram, that there's some sort of element that stays consistent throughout. And that can be, you know, maybe you're doing selective focus, or maybe, you know, you use a lot of the same typefaces and, you know, you talk to people the same way, things like that. So, you know, keeping your outward advertising consistent. Newsletters design in particular, you want to be consistent as well with how you're presenting yourself. But there are several tips in doing a newsletter that will help you get more clicks and more, you know, engagement. Don't use big blocks of copy. Break it up with subheads, break it up with photos. People don't like to read a whole bunch anymore. If they're engaged in a certain subject, they will go deep into it, but they need to scan your newsletter and then decide, oh, I'm interested in this particular section, and then they'll go deep. So how you break that up so that a person can scan and see what the newsletter is about is do big subheads, do a big heading, you know, make sure that the newsletter heading captures what the message is of the newsletter too, and the subject line. Break up the copy with big subheads, big photos. You know, people love to look at photos and videos if you have them. Videos get a lot more attention on social media and newsletters than a lot of things do. The other thing, and this isn't really a design tip, but personalize your newsletter. Make them want to engage with you. Show them that a real person is associated with this newsletter. The studies have shown that they are 6 times more likely to engage with your newsletter if they feel that there's a real person attached to it and someone that is really telling them this and has some sort of emotional tie into what they're putting out there. That's really important, and it will up your engagement quite a bit as well. Other than that, just make sure that, like I talked about in the beginning, is, you know, make sure there's a hierarchy in your placement. Chances aren't people aren't going to scroll all the way through your newsletter. So if there's something important, a giveaway or something that you're really, you know, want people to hear about, or, you know, you're having a show at a local art gallery, make sure that all that stuff is up front or at the top. Again, the hierarchy of placement. Get all the important information and be cognizant of how an eye will travel through your newsletter. You know, if you can scan through it and know what this newsletter is about before you actually have to read it.
I have never been a fan of social media until probably about 6 months ago. I am such a print girl. I love my magazines. I love anybody's magazines who are printed on nice paper with heavy covers, and my joy is to sit and read the magazines. But what I've learned since I've been working with Jody and had to be involved in social media is that there are so many tricks, or my favorite word, secrets, about how to be more engaged. There are some days that are better than others, right, Jody, to post? Or should you post every single day?
I'm not a fan of posting every single day. I think that it tires your audience out. However, there are algorithms, I can't even say the word because that Facebook and Instagram use. And the more you post consistently, so that means that you don't have to post every day, but if you consistently post 3 times a week, people are more likely to see your post, not just because you're posting the 3 times a week, but because Facebook and Instagram recognize you as a person who stays consistent. And so they will actually push your post out above someone who maybe is posting 3 times a week as well, but it's inconsistent. So that's one trick, you know, when you're on your social media. You know, you can actually go into your stats and it will show you what days of the week or hours of the week that your viewers in particular, because every audience is different. You know, Joe's audience actually are pretty engaged all day long. I have worked with other companies where their engagement is only after 6 o'clock or during lunch hour. So I think it just depends on who your audience is, but you can easily see that in the insights. And there's a whole section on Instagram and Facebook where you can go look at, hey, what days are best to post? What hours are best to post? You know, and there's also, you can schedule a post and you can say, hey, automatically send out when this is the best time for my viewership. And Facebook and Instagram will look at the stats and they'll send it out for you when they consider is the best time for you to be posting.
Okay, so something else that I've learned from Jody, I think this is fascinating because when you're in the magazine business and you have to sell more magazines and you have this publisher who, it's about the numbers, right? And so I was hysterical one day because we get good response. We get great engagement. Our Instagram numbers are growing literally 100 or so every 2 weeks. But everybody else was getting on their videos. They were getting like 10,000 views and all of this. And we didn't have anything even close to that. So I contacted Jody and said, Jody, tell me how we can get these videos and how we can get this many views and tell them what you told me.
When you see those really high numbers, it's usually they give you different stats, but under 10 second videos, that's where you get those really high numbers. So when you see somebody, you know, oh, they have 10,000 views. Well, that's 10,000 views, but it's been under 10 seconds. The more true number is the people who have watched, you know, at least a minute of the video. And you really don't want your video to be much longer than a minute, unless it's like a how-to and they're really engaging. But if it's just showcasing, you want to keep it under a minute, especially for social media, because you just don't have their attention that long. But video is such a huge player now in everything. You know, you can set up a video and just show people what you're working on, a before and after of, you know, a blank canvas and then what you've done. And it engages, you know, the viewer so much more because, again, people don't like to read like they used to unless they're truly interested. That's what is interesting about Joe's post is that people actually do read what Joe is saying. And it's because she has a very engaged audience. That's really good. You know, most people would kill to have that. You know, you might not have as high of numbers as some other sites, but your audience is super engaged. And that's the goal. That's the goal. Yes, you want the higher numbers because that means more people know about you. But the real goal is to have them truly engage with you, which is what Where Women Create really has mastered there. But the videos, you can't get away from it. They are really important. And even if they're 10 seconds, like Google, even Google Ads has this sweet spot for videos, which is like 8 seconds, which doesn't seem long enough to tell anybody anything, but it's enough that people actually, you know, if you do it right, and like I said, with the hierarchy and what your message is, you know, they will watch more, but at least they're getting, you know, knowing who you are and engaging that way too. So it's all analytics and complicated algorithms and things like that. But the biggest tip I can tell you on any of this is that you have to be authentic. Whatever you're saying, you have to believe. Whatever you're producing, you know, it's not about the commercial side of this. You know, yes, we all want to make money, but there has to be a why. I preach this to no end is that I, you know, enjoy helping customers like Joe engage their followers and get their message out there because I actually love what they're talking about and I believe in what they're talking about. And I know Joe doesn't do this because she wants to produce a magazine. There's lots of magazines that can be produced and there's probably magazines that would make Joe more money if she produced them. But what Joe has is that she truly cares about these artists. Her message is about women and women supporting other women. And she has pushed that since the very beginning. And that is what makes you successful in the social media world. Like I said, with your newsletters, make them personal. You know, have a real person attached to that. That's what gets you loyal followers. It's the same thing with your social media. The messages and things need to be authentic. And these women that we feature in the magazine and on the social media and things like that, you know, a lot of them aren't making a ton of money, but they're living their why. They want to create, they want to produce, they have a passion for, you know, whatever it is, or they, you know, they want to help you know, I'm thinking of the candle maker. Her goal was to help inner city families and children. And so she started this candle company and she makes these fantastic, gorgeous candles. But her why is pretty deep. And the why, I think, for Joe is, Joe, you can totally correct me, but I think it's women supporting women. This is why you do this. Plus that you love the creativity and things like that. You are passionate about that. And that is the number one thing you can put out there on your social media is your why you're passionate, why you're, this is important to you.
If you guys go on the website and look up the podcast when you want to listen to it, when you're listening to it, you will see a name and a link of a candle maker. What I'd like to say, this is just me, is that not everything that is good for one person is good for everyone. Everybody has, like Jody said, you have to decide your why and you have to be authentic. And I think one of the reasons that Women Create has such great engagement and is growing so fast is that we feature and talk about a lot of different women. You will never see anything about me on our Instagram site. It's always about the women that we feature in the magazine, the women that I meet at events. And I think that's a trick that everybody could learn, because think about it. If you're doing something and you mention somebody else on your Instagram post and then you let them know and you tag them, then they take their audience and tag them to follow your post. So automatically you've doubled or tripled the size or the reach of what your post is. So you always need to be thinking about, if you're an influencer and you have 4 million followers on Instagram, you don't need to do this because people want to see all about you. But if you're not, if you're just, you know, someone who loves their art and loves to be part of this community, loves to be involved in Instagram, then you might want to share some of your posts and talk about somebody else and show off their art. And then they'll do the same for you. And then you can both grow exponentially. And it's so much easier. And it's actually so much more fun. It's more fun to be involved with other people in a group and not be alone. Together, we really can make a difference for each other and for ourselves. Social media is what it is. It's here to stay. We all need to learn how to use it and enjoy it to our best.
The other part of this is that you really know your audience. You know who you're talking to. You know them in and out more than most companies know their audiences. And so I think that's important when you're going out on your social media, you know, really know who you're talking to. Who are you targeting? For Joe, it's creative women and women in business and women, you know, supporting other women and good causes and things like that. You know, if you have a homemade dog food that you want to advertise that, you know, you're really passionate about, well, then you have a different audience. It seems that's just a given that you should know who your audience is, but so many people don't. They need to actually stop and think about, okay, how old are the people that I'm talking to? You know, what do they do after work? Because you can target all these people in social media, you know, with that. And what it does, it's not just a marketing thing. It's a community, like Joe said. Yes, I'm targeting these people. And yes, Joe wants them to get a magazine, but we're actually engaging with them. We actually care about them. That's who we want to have conversations with because we have something in common. I mean, that's the thing these days and for future generations is that this is how they get to know people is social media. You don't go to the dance and get...
You're showing your age, Joe.
I know. But, all right, yeah, the stomp. You don't go to the stomp and, you know, get to know people anymore. You get to know them on social media. And it's becoming true for all age groups, actually. It's interesting, the rabbit holes I can go down by finding someone that their post caught my eye, and then I go to learn more about them. And then that leads me to learn more about what they're doing. And, you know, I literally can spend hours going down rabbit holes from people that I have just randomly like found on, you know, social media. So keep that in mind too. Really know who your audience is and who you're talking to, because that's your community. That's who's going to support you.
So Women Create has an IG page and it does really well. And Joe Packham has an IG page. And she doesn't do so well. And so I'm thinking to myself, what the hell? I mean, why isn't anybody following me? I am Women Create, part of it. But what I did was, so I went and looked up everybody, like the Ellen DeGeneres show. If somebody would have asked me, I would have said, oh, Ellen herself would have more followers because everybody wants to know what she's doing, right? Mm-hmm. What she's thinking, what she's doing, where she's going. But that's not true. They want to know all about everything that that surrounds her. People are interested in not only you, but everybody around you and what makes you part of their community. So yeah. I think that's a valuable lesson to be learned by all of us. By sharing, you reap more rewards. I mean, it sounds like a biblical quote, but it's true. Okay, so Jody, I want to get personal for a second. I think it's important that everybody that we feature, that you know about their passion, what they do, the work they love, why they do it. But I think it's important that we know a little bit about the person herself. And so I always have two questions that I ask everyone. And the first one, Jody, is what secret will you tell everyone who is listening that most people don't know about you?
Okay, so Joe sent me this before today saying, hey, this is what I'm going to ask you. Think about it. And so I'm like, I don't know. I'm pretty open book. And I said to my daughter, Maddie, you know, what secret do you think that I have that most people don't know? And she goes, that you're a horrible dancer. And I'm like, I didn't even know I was a horrible dancer. So I guess that's a secret. You gotta love kids, right?
Oh, yeah. Their honesty is brutal.
I'm like, so I guess that's pretty much a secret because I didn't know that at all. So. Well,
I think it's one of the best kept secrets in town.
Yes, apparently. Oh.
Okay. And to end our podcast and to thank Jody for coming and being part of this and sharing her time and her knowledge and everything that she's worked so hard for, I believe in my heart of hearts that one of the most telling things about a person and who they really are is what their favorite quote is. And so, Jody, so that we know a little bit more about you and all about you, tell us what your favorite quote is.
Well, I actually have two, and I'm going to share both of them because they each mean something to me. You know, I have had a lot of personal struggles in life. Things did not go how my 14-year-old self thought they were going to go. And one of my favorite quotes is by John Lennon, and it says, "It will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end." And I have leaned on that more than I can even say in my life because it's just the way things go. But then I have another one, which is just one of my all-time favorites because I'm a very passionate person and a very affectionate person. And it is, "People who throw kisses are hopelessly lazy" by Bob Hope. So there you go.
I love that, you know. I love that.
I knew you would. Yeah. That is up on my Instagram, right? Yes, about me. So there you go.
Well, thank you so much for being part of us. We do hope you'll come back again someday. And I want to invite all of you to remember when you're posting or when you're creating a newsletter to remember the hints that Jody's given you. I promise you that they will help. And every time you pick up our magazines, I want you to look at the layouts. And Jody hasn't done them all, but she's done many of them. And to think of how hard she works and what she does and everything that goes into letting you be who you really are and not trying to change you or make you look like someone else. And I would like to end the podcast. I thought about this for a long time and I've been trying to find a way. Do you know how many ways there are to say goodbye? I Googled it because it's really hard. Nice. Everybody says you have to have a great closure to the podcast and you have to have, you know, something really poignant to say and a way to say it, to say goodbye. So I Googled it and there are things like au revoir and toodle-doo and see you later. And I thought, yeah, those are great. I have two favorite quotes as well. One of my favorite quotes is, "To be good is not enough when you dream of being great." The other one is going to become my closure for each one of my podcasts, and that is, "I love you all with 1,000 hearts."